From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings part three of a message called Rahab, a Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith, as he continues this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from this collection called Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. The ancient naturalists wrote much of basilisks, whose eyes fascinated their victims and render them easy victims. So the mere gaze of wickedness puts us in solemn danger. He who would be safe from acts of evil must haste away from the occasions of it. A covenant must be made with our eyes, not even to look upon the cause of temptation, for such sins only need a spark to begin with, and a blaze follows in an instant. Who would wantonly enter the leper's prison and sleep amid its horrible corruption? He only who desires to be leprous himself would thus court contagion. If the mariner knew how to avoid a storm, he would do anything rather than run the risk of weathering it. Cautious pilots have no desire to try how near the quicksand they can sail, or how often they may touch a rock without springing a leak. Their aim is to keep as nearly as possible in the midst of a safe channel. This day I may be exposed to great peril. Let me have the serpent's wisdom to keep out of it and avoid it. The wings of a dove may be of more use to me today than the jaws of a lion. It is true I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I'd better leave my cloak than lose my character. It is not needful that I should be rich, but it is imperative upon me to be pure. No ties of friendship, no chains of beauty, no flashings of talent, no shafts of ridicule must turn me from the wise resolve to flee from sin. The devil I am to resist, and he will flee from me. But the lust of the flesh I must flee, for they will surely overcome me. O God of holiness, preserve thy Josephs, that Madam Bubble bewitch them not with her vile suggestions. May the horrible trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil never overcome us.
Contrite heart, for a faith that's sure. consecrate thine own, and thy saints perfect. Purge our hearts from secret faults, chasten and correct. Lord, we wait on thee, let thy kingdom come.
Hallowed be thy name on earth, as in heaven let thy will be done, a heart that's pure, a conscience clean, a soul that thirsts for holiness in godly things. Faith is my prayer.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, you may contact us by phone if you wish at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Hayward Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. To the attack on Jericho, Joshua had dispatched 2 spies to search out the city's defenses. The harlot Rahab hid them from their pursuers and confessed that the city was in great fear because of what God had already done for Israel. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is drawing parallels between Rahab's coming to trust in Israel's God and the way the Lord works in the hearts of sinners to bring them to salvation in Christ. The first step for Rahab and for every lost soul, is the recognition of being under the condemnation of God, which results in the conviction of sin. Then the convicted sinner must trust in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, symbolized by the scarlet thread Rahab placed in her window. Now to continue this message, Rahab, a picture of salvation by grace through faith. Here is Dr. Cairns.
The work of God in a man's heart or a woman's heart always commences with the hearing of the truth of God about the Lord and His works. What a message this was for Rahab. She had never heard anything like it. She had been brought up with gods of a heathen variety. The very worship of those gods was wickedness personified. That's what she was used to, a religion of fear, a religion of debauchery, a religion of wickedness, a religion of guilt and manipulation. Now she hears about Jehovah. She hears about grace. She hears about the power of God exercised on behalf of His people. She heard the story of what God did in redeeming His people out of Egypt. She followed the story with growing interest. You can see that in what she says. We have heard of the great works of the Lord. When you come over into the New Testament, when Peter started preaching in the day of Pentecost, he preached a great sermon that was really in answer to questions raised by the witness of the whole body of Christians as they were speaking in foreign languages. And the people said, we hear them all in our own tongues. Then the scoffers started and they tried to find fault. That was what gave Peter his sermon. But what interests me in that chapter is that when the people started preaching in all those foreign languages, and people said, we hear them every man in his own tongue, what did they say they heard? They heard them declaring the wonderful works of God. The very message that Rahab heard. I want you to understand this. This is where God begins to bring sinners out of condemnation into the covenant of grace. He first of all brings them under conviction by the preaching of the Word of God. She heard of what the Lord had done. Not only that, but she heard of God's gracious promise to His people, the promise of Canaan. She knew God has given you the land. She knew about that undertaking. She heard the works of God. She heard the promise of God. And as she heard these things, something happened within her. And this is something that always happens when God brings a man or a woman under conviction. She heard about the greatness of God. She heard about the grace of God. And suddenly, her heart melted within her. There was no more desire to be a heathen. There was no more desire to remain an alien from this God. There was no more desire to maintain a spirit of rebellion. The other people in Jericho, oh, their hearts melted for fear, but still they were strengthened in their rebellion. There was no talk about throwing open the gates. There was no talk about looking for terms of peace. No, no. That was reserved to Rahab and through her to her family. And I want to tell you, my friend, that is God's way of dealing with sinners. He finds you a rebel. He finds you with a heart that's fixed and set in sin against Him. Determined to go on. And then He comes. He makes known to you His own greatness. His own grace. He makes known to you the promise that He gives to all His people of the fullness of His provision in Christ. He subdues your iniquities. It's a very, very important way of putting it. It's a very biblical way of putting it. He subdues your iniquities, gives you a willingness to have Him. In the case of Rahab, that led her to confess Him in the plainest terms. It always does. And that confession led her to sue for peace. To sue for peace. And she received it. Here is a picture of a man under conviction or a woman under conviction. Oh, they're sinners. There's no denial of their sin. There's no excusing of their sin. They're living in the city of destruction. They can find no safety there. They may, like Rahab, be living in what is counted to be a very, very powerful fortification, a place of great strength. But they realize this place of strength, the wall of Jericho, is going to fall. When God lays judgment to the line, then that stronghold of sin will fall. They realize there's no safety, no security. Then they hear of the greatness of God, the greatness of His grace, the wonder of His promise, and of His person. And they cry to Him for peace. They want peace. They want to get right with God. They want delivered from this cursed city. They want delivered from this condemnation. They want to be brought out from the awful curse of God's wrath. They sue for peace. And thank God, they always receive it. Certainly Rahab did, for the final view you have of her. And as I've said, this is the abiding view of Rahab in Scripture. She's under the covenant. We read in verse 18 and then verse 21, if I may link those two verses, the words of the men and her response. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Verse 21, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Now, she let them down not by a thread, but by a rope. I mean, a thread's not going to hold too many men. So she let them down by a rope. A scarlet rope. But very interestingly, when the man told her to put it in the window, they didn't use the word rope at all. Or cord. They didn't use that word. They said, bind this line. It's an interesting word. The word line is literally the Hebrew verb to hope. It's a word that means a hope. Obviously, it's a figure of speech here. It's a cord that expresses a hope. But I find it very interesting that they didn't simply say, put the cord in the window. They said, literally, hang your hope in the window. Now, get a picture there. And they said, as you hang this cord, as you hang this hope in the window, this scarlet hope in the window, we guarantee your safety. And we read, she bound the line. She bound her hope in the window. She did it. Now see this picture. Her trust was placed in the promise she received. How does a person enter into the assurance of salvation? How do they enter into the experience of sins forgiven? How do they know that they're right with God? They have a promise. A promise from God. A promise that has the stamp of God's truth upon it. A promise that has all the integrity and all the character, all the honesty and all the dependability, all the faithfulness of eternal deity behind it. Oh, it's vitally important that every person who sues for peace understands this. Maybe you've come to this meeting this morning with a burden of sin, with a feeling of guilt, gnawing and gnawing and gnawing away at your heart. And you wonder, can I ever be rid of this awful, fearful burden of sin and guilt and failure and wickedness? Can I ever really be free? Can I ever really know that God has forgiven me? Well, my friend, you have what Rahab had. And that is a promise from God. And I cannot stress this too much. There must be a total reliance upon God's promise. It's true because He says it, for He's the God who cannot lie. It's true because He delights to fulfill His word. We have the word of God, the promise of God. I will look upon your scarlet hope. Bless God, He says, I'll deliver you and I'll save you. Our promise from God is something upon which we can depend for time and for eternity. The promise, of course, was signified by the scarlet line. A scarlet line for a scarlet sinner. What can wash away the stain of sin? What can take away the scarlet letter of deep wickedness? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is the true scarlet line that runs throughout Scripture. Abel was justified by faith in the blood of the Lamb. Right throughout the Old Testament, from Abel through to Malachi, you have the constant witness. It is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. The blood of the Lamb. And in the New Testament, we have the interpretation of it all. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He has redeemed us to God by His blood. It is His blood, Hebrews 9:22, by which we have remission of sins. He has entered into heaven Himself by His blood as our forerunner, guaranteeing our arrival. That's the scarlet line. Romans 3:25 puts it beautifully. God set forth Christ to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Or a propitiation by blood that is received through faith. Men and women, let's understand this today. Our trust is in the promise of God. That promise is set before us in the scarlet line of the precious, precious blood of Jesus. And that scarlet line expresses our hope. It certainly expressed the hope of Rahab as the forces of divine judgment approached Jericho. Rahab's confidence, Rahab's only hope, was not that her part of the wall was stronger. It was not that she had so many soldiers around about her. It was not that she had hidden the spies. It was not that she had done anything. There was only one thing that gave her hope. There's a scarlet line in the window. If they take note of that, I'm safe. If they don't, I'm lost. I want to tell you, my friend, God's word is, when I see the blood, that's the scarlet line in the window. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Not when I see how well you've lived, though we should seek to live as holy as we can by the grace of God. Not when I see how much you've given, though we should give as liberally as we can to the work of God. Not when I see how many souls you've won, though we should seek to win as many as we can to the Son of God. But when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Our hope is in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.